Thanks for listening to the Vertical Student Ministries podcast. We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you hear.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Vertical Leadership Podcast. It's Pastor Reggie here. We're so glad that you are listening. Today, we have a special guest in the house, right here in Grand Rapids with us on site, Pastor Shane. How you doing, Pastor Shane?
Doing good, Reggie.
Pastor Shane Bryant from Charlotte Assembly of God. Not Charlotte, but Charlotte.
That's correct. Charlotte.
Charlotte. Not to be confused with Charlotte, North Carolina, but Charlotte, Michigan. And so before we get jumping into this topic, we want to kind of let the listeners know a little bit about who you are and where you've been and what you've done. And so let's get them a little familiar with you. So first off, where are you located now and what church you've been at and what positions have you held there and what position do you currently hold there and how long you've been there?
Great. Well, first of all, Reggie, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. I'm in Charlotte Assembly of God, which is just 20 minutes south of Lansing.
Okay.
I've been there for 12 years.
Wow.
And the most of the time that I've been there, I served as youth pastor.
Okay.
As youth pastor for 8 years, and we had a big bus ministry. And then 5 years ago, my lead pastor passed away, and I was elected as the lead pastor 6 months after that event.
Wow. So went from youth pastor to lead pastor in the middle of kind of a crisis moment.
Yeah,
and so the church looked at you and said, "Help us through it, and work us through it, and lead us."
Yeah, they gave me a great opportunity to lead, and they really, I love them because they really believed in the call in my life, and gave me the opportunity to serve. And I was new. There's very, very new. Lead pastoring and youth pastoring are so different.
Yeah,
they're so different.
Wow, and you've got a perspective of kind of both. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Maybe we'll have you on there sometime again to talk about that transition.
Sure.
But today our topic is talking about leading multi-generational teams, and this is a subject that we've been. I've even talked with friends of mine that are in leadership circles and really said, like, this is a topic that I think needs to be talked about more and how we deal, whether we're working on different teams of different generational, but especially in your context as a lead pastor leading those teams and what that looks like. And so we're going to kind of jump right in, if you don't mind,
and
kind of ask that first question is why should organizations even really care about this topic of multi-generational teams?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. On the macro level, it's because the kingdom matters.
Yeah.
Souls matter, and therefore unity matters. And so we have to learn to work well cross-generationally if we want to have that unity and if we want to maintain that unity. And so when we are in unity in the kingdom, it advances the gospel and the kingdom spreads.
Wow.
On a micro level, I think parents really want to know how to talk to their kids.
Wow.
And I also think that employers want to develop emerging leaders, and you have churches that want to reach the next generation.
Wow. So this affects every area.
Nobody's left out of this conversation. Yeah.
Wow.
For sure.
Wow.
And so as leaders, we have to realize that the average lead pastor is 56 years old.
Mm-hmm.
One out of seven lead pastors is under the age of 40.
Wow.
Your emerging leader is 22, 23 years old. That's a 20 to 33 year gap.
Wow.
Right? And so because there's such a gap generationally, you have to realize that there's potential for possible tension.
Yeah.
And so if we're not careful, our generational bias can create unwanted tension on our staffs and our teams, our family.
Yeah. That's a topic I think is of great importance. I would agree. Like whether it's in the church or in the organizational world, or like you said, as a parent thinking about how to connect with your kid, that's a great way to put that and why it's so valuable. Let me ask you this: what are some of the challenges you've seen in leading? You said you're obviously a lead pastor now, and you said you have a team of 20s and 50s, and you're right kind of there in the middle,
right,
as we talked about before we jumped on. And talk a little bit about maybe some of the challenges you've seen in leading that team.
Well, for me, I have half my staff is in their 50s, and I have half my staff in their 20s, and then I'm in the middle, and then my admin's in the middle.
Okay.
And so I can experience both ends of the spectrum, their pain, the struggle that they have. And so the truth really is that when I read that question, what are the challenges? I laughed because there's so, where do you start with the challenges? Yeah. There's so many challenges, but there's a lot. And the reason is because each generation, rather, let's talk about the generations real quick. You have your traditions, which are still in the workplace. They're born before 45. Mm-hmm. And then you have your boomers.
Talking 1945.
1945. And then you have your boomers, which were born 46 to 64. And they're large. They're huge. There's like 76 million of them.
Wow.
And then you have your Xers, which are 65 to 79. Mm-hmm. And the Xers are really coming into their own right now. They're stepping into the first chair leadership.
Yeah.
Then you have the millennials, which are 80 to 96, and you can really separate old millennials from young millennials. Mm. They're different. And then there's Z, which is 97 to present. So when you look at all these different generations, you have to recognize that each generation is a unique culture.
Wow.
They have different experiences. Mm-hmm. They have different historical markers.
Right.
For instance, most older millennials know where they were when 9/11 happened.
9/11. I was in sixth grade.
So you know exactly where you were.
Saw it hit right there.
Never forget it.
Watching a Miss DeVries math class in sixth grade at Walnut Creek Middle School and saw the second tower hit. Yeah.
And you'll never forget it.
Never forget it.
Never forget it.
Never forget it.
Emerging leaders, 22, 23.
Have no idea.
Have no idea.
Wow.
So they have different historical markers. Mm-hmm. The other thing is there's different technology for each one of these generations when they came of age.
Yeah.
So we have to understand, Reggie, that culture really shapes us, and each generation is a subculture of the larger culture we live in.
Wow.
And so when you talk about the challenges that face the different generations in the workplace or in church, you have to realize that there's two things that I would say divide the cultural narrative.
Okay.
First of all, the language.
The language, yeah.
Each generation speaks a different language. Mm-hmm. For example, your Z's and your younger millennials have no problem sending an emoji, right?
Yeah.
Where your boomers, your Xers, maybe some old millennials love to send really long emails.
Yeah.
It's a different language in communication. Mm-hmm. And because they have a different language, there's potential for tension there.
We can text a whole conversation in just emojis and know what you're talking about.
Right.
And just little pictures.
And I have to Google, what is this? What am I being sent? I have no idea what this is. So that's a difference in language. Another thing is values. Mm. So they have a different language, but they also have different values. So different generations value different things. For example, especially when it applies to the workplace.
Yeah.
And I'll divide Xers and put them in a category with old millennials.
Right.
Just for the sake of the argument. Xers and old millennials really value boundaries. Mm. They like to separate their work life, their social life, their life, and they have these compartments. So my older staff members, my Xers, they love to go into an office, shut the door, and get work done.
Yeah.
They just really value that space. Where your Z's and your younger millennials, they really value just being together.
Wow, collaboration,
they're multitaskers. Yeah. They like the collaboration. They like to get together and work. And so where my Xers and older millennials, they love to get together to get work done.
Mm-hmm.
Where your Z's and your younger millennials love to get work done because they get together.
Yeah.
And so those are just some of the challenges.
So just a slight difference in why we're getting together.
Yeah, different values.
Mm,
absolutely.
Different values. Love it.
And so the result of having a different language and different values is there can be a tendency to allow the differences to pull us apart instead of bring us together.
Wow.
And so we can spend a lot of time and we're frustrated because we're just communicating separate languages.
Different languages.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you think about that. So you said the two challenges that you see, the big challenges, right? The language barrier, which not even English, Spanish, or anything like that, but just cultural language is different, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I can't think of now people who like say LOL out loud, and I'm like,
right?
Wow, we're talking text language now, you know?
Right.
And then values is different. You know, why we do what we do, you know? I think that's a great thing. So let me ask you this, and this is kind of a bigger question, because as we talked about a little bit before, like you said, there's five different really generations working in the workplace together now.
Right.
And so, and each one of them have different motivations. So what are maybe the ways you've seen to motivate each generation? Because you have to do it differently, obviously. If we have different values, we speak a different language. What are maybe the motivations you've seen to help each different generation?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we obviously want to motivate people. We don't want to demotivate them. And so part of the challenge for me is, as being in my 30s and having staff members in their 50s and the staff members in their 20s, has been to learn what motivates them.
Yeah.
Because what's motivating to me may not be motivating to them. And so that's what's been a challenge. And on top of that, I've always worked for boomers.
Yeah.
I've always worked for boomers. And so I really understand what motivates a boomer. And I was surprised when what motivated a boomer didn't motivate one of my Z's.
Wow.
Complete different motivations.
Different, yeah.
And so I would just say that when we're talking about young millennials, let's say from 91, maybe to 99.
Yeah.
You have to understand, first of all, when we're talking about generations, there's floating dates.
Yeah.
And there's overlap.
Yeah.
So for instance, I'm a millennial, but I identify with Xers because I was born in the middle.
In the middle.
And so I understand both sides of that coin.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about generations, we're really talking about a number that is not always fixed.
It's a fluid number. Yeah.
Absolutely fluid.
Definitely.
So I would say, let's motivate your young millennials and your Z's.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to do that as somebody that's older and I want to motivate that generation, the number one thing I got to do is create a team culture. They like to work together. They want to collaborate. They want to brainstorm.
Yeah.
They want to bounce ideas off of each other. And so for me to really motivate them, I'm trying to look for avenues to create a real team culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I have to do is I have to allow them to develop relationships, because they're very, very relational when they work.
Yeah.
And so I want to create that team culture where they can build relationships with one another. And those relationships tend to breed trust.
Wow.
And so that's really, really important.
That's really important
for the whys and the Z's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta
have it. I think on a team in general, you want to develop that trust to be able to work together, to be able to collaborate, to be able to share things with, because that's where relationship happens, is through trust. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So good.
So that's the number one thing that motivates them, is we're building a team culture where we appreciate and value each other, and we all get a role to play.
I was going to say, would you even agree maybe that I've seen this in our team culture and working with some of the interns that are in our team that are, you know, younger millennials and Gen Zers, that it's kind of always a bigger picture thing that really motivates them.
Right.
Like, we're working together to create or to accomplish something that's bigger than ourselves.
Yes.
Would you agree with maybe that?
They're motivated by the big picture.
Yeah.
They're very motivated by the cause, the purpose.
Yeah.
That really moves the ball forward for them.
For sure.
Because they want to be a part of something much bigger than they could obtain on their own.
Exactly.
Which makes them great team players.
Yeah.
Very good team players.
That's awesome.
And so
that's
you
awesome.
Can really appreciate that in the younger generation.
And when you know that now as a leader, you can not manipulate that, but use that. And use that inspiration to push the ball forward with your team.
Well, there's times with the team that the best thing I can do is say, we're ordering pizza, we're going to have lunch together, and we're going to knock out this task. That really creates a positive environment, especially for the young millennials and the Z's.
Yeah, we got student loans. We want free lunch. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I'll take a free lunch.
Lunch is on us. The ideas are on you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so that's a really empowering thing, and it motivates them. Another thing is they really need to have freedom to create. And so for me, as somebody that identifies with the Xers, and really identifies with old millennials, because that's what I am.
Yeah.
It's important that I'm continuing to extend freedom. I'm continuing to extend opportunities for them to create. And the other thing that I've really learned, this has been the hardest thing, Reggie, for me. This has been, if you're asking me where I fell, this is where I have failed.
Okay.
Younger millennials and Z's really need us to create solid lines.
Wow.
They don't want you to be ambiguous. Especially when it comes to their workflow.
Yeah.
And so what I've learned is I want to give them the freedom to create, but they also need to know exactly what my expectations are.
Yeah.
Even sometimes down to the method.
Yeah.
And so they really appreciate having those lines drawn. This is how we do it.
This is the fence. You have freedom within this fence to get it done. Yeah.
And they love that.
Yeah.
But for me, I always craved the ability to do things my way. And so I really learned the Z's and the younger millennials, they really appreciate when you make it black and white. It's very clear. This is the win. This is how you know you're winning. Mm-hmm. And this is how we accomplish that. And so they really need that. Mm-hmm. And it's been really helpful for me to recognize that, because the last thing we want to do is frustrate them by sending them off to accomplish a task or an event or a product, and they work really hard only to come to us and say, no, this is not what I wanted.
Exactly.
Let's just tell them what we want on the front side.
Wow.
And they really are able to contribute that way.
Well, I've heard it said like this. I think Andy Stanley says it like this. We don't delegate tasks. We delegate results.
Absolutely.
So find out what's the result you're wanting.
Yes.
Let me figure out how to get you that result.
Yes.
Show me exactly what you want. As the result, I want this number. I want that. I want this. Yes. I want this. Now you go be creative. Use that flow to figure out how you want to do it within the parameters of knowing I want these results.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's been a key for me, even in my leadership, is saying, what are the results I want from our team? And then let them figure out how to get it done.
I've always really made it an effort to communicate the why,
yeah,
and the what.
Big, that's big.
And then trust the team to figure out the how.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, that's what Jesus did, right?
In
Scripture. He just said, go and make disciples to right. all nations.
Right.
He gave you the who. He right. gave you the what.
Yeah.
But he never gave you the how.
Absolutely. And that's wow. great. That's a really yeah. great point. I'm going to have to borrow that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I've got that.
There you go. But anything else on that? Yeah.
So, and when we're talking about motivating Zs, and we're mm-hmm. talking about maybe younger millennials, the one thing that they really appreciate is they need check-ins, consistent check-ins.
That's good.
Because
that's good.
They need some feedback.
Yep.
And I think that older generations, quick feedback, shorthand. Yeah. Let's make it shorthand. But they need to know that they're doing well, mm-hmm. that you see the progress. And typically the older generations are, if there's a problem, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the wheels are falling off, we're going to come talk.
I'll see you in your annual review. We'll put out what you did in January, in September.
it's funny you say that, because I was just listening to a podcast. I think it was either Carrie Newhoff or Craig Rochelle.
Yeah.
But they had a guy on their name. I think his first name's Hayden.
Okay.
And he said, if you meet with the staff one time a year and call it an annual review, it might as well be an exit strategy.
Yeah. That, I think I heard that one as well. Hayden Snow. I think Hayden Snow, maybe.
Yeah. Hayden Snow, exactly.
Yeah.
And so the truth is, the Z's and really the younger millennials, and to be honest, an older millennial, I really appreciate the feedback. I want
to
make you happy. I want to please you. I want to make sure I'm fitting with the culture.
Yeah.
And so some feedback consistently really helps motivate me.
For sure. I love it. What about, are there any other generations we can talk about?
So maybe that's really, I would say that's an older generation motivating the younger generation.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we could flip the roles.
Flip it, yeah.
So how can the younger generation motivate the older generation?
Wow.
And I think this is an important question to ask, because a lot of times we do think top down.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to empower the younger generation? But I think the younger generation can do themselves a favor by really learning what motivates those older millennials, those Xers, those boomers, because we want to be in an environment where we can grow and thrive. And let's be honest, when most of the guys in the first seats, gals are in the first seats, are Xers or boomers, it is significant for us to learn what motivates them.
Mm.
And so there's a couple things here that I think are really key. So if you're in your 20s or 30s and you really are an emerging leader and you want to lead, and
listen
to this, please listen to this.
Listen up right now. I love it.
This is crucial. You can learn the language of communication for those Xers and boomers.
Wow.
Really learn that communication. Mm-hmm. For instance, they like email.
Yeah.
I don't love it, but they love it.
Yeah, shoot me and a text, right?
Yeah, shoot me a text all day long. You can put an emoji in mine. I'm fine with it.
They want an email.
They want an email because they want the ability to go sit down, process it, take notes, and work through it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a ton of things rolling on their mind. And so sending them an email really speaks their language.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not across the board, but just taking the time to learn
a that professional email too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Use punctuation, right?
Yeah.
Use the punctuation.
Yeah. And spell out the word, right?
The whole word.
The whole
yes,
word.
Absolutely.
Right? A professional email.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Please. And it means a lot to them, and it motivates them.
Yeah.
It also communicates that you're listening.
Mm.
You're listening to them. Mm. And so whatever that communication style is, and let's be honest, everybody does have a different type of way of communicating. It's not always a generational bias.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can do ourselves a favor by being sensitive and aware of how do they communicate.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think a younger generation can do to motivate the older generation would be to simply value their experience and tenure.
Wow.
And I think in a culture that is out with the old, in with the new,
wow,
we definitely have a culture that looks at things as disposable.
Mm.
I think we would go a long way in the church to build unity if we just honored that experience, honored that tenure. Hey, these boomers, these Xers, they've been very faithful to serve the body of Christ for a long time.
In a lot of them in one place.
In one place.
Yeah.
Yes. So they've been down the road.
Yeah.
And they know a thing or two. And I really appreciate it when somebody honors and respects that experience that I have.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing too, and this could be a touchy word for some people, yeah, but respect their traditions.
Yeah.
And I'm not the most traditional person.
Yeah.
But I think that there are some things that have value.
Okay.
And they mean something. So when I say respect your traditions, I'm not just saying we do it because we've always done it,
mm-hmm,
but maybe understanding the why behind the what.
Yeah.
You know, why have we always done this? And mm-hmm, and maybe engage in a conversation instead of just saying, we've done that every year. We don't want to do that. Or, you know what? Old people do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Figure out the why behind the what.
Absolutely.
And get to the, and I think that would be for both sides of the fence, really. Like if we can start talking about the why.
Yeah,
I think we can have greater motivation as a team to really get this done. Like, okay, this is the why we're doing what we're doing. Now, is this the best what, or can we figure out a different what? But this is the why.
Absolutely.
I love it.
That why is key. And you said it. It goes to both generations. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is really to seek and understand their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think we hear a lot about the Z's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We really, for 15 years, we've been hearing about the millennials' perspective. And here's the reason. They're so large.
Yeah.
There's 72 million millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Xers that are usually in the first chair currently, mm-hmm, they're very, very small.
Yeah.
And so their perspective has not always been valued.
Wow.
Where we're always, what is the millennial thinking? What is the Z thinking?
Yeah, we skip over.
What's important to them? Right.
We skip over the Xers a lot. We go from baby boomers kind of to millennials.
Right.
And skip over Gen X a lot. Wow.
Because they're so small.
They're so small. Yeah.
So they didn't have the global impact. They didn't have the cultural impact. But many of them are in the first chair because of their age and their tenure. And so I think just at least trying to understand their perspective and where they're coming from. And,
yeah.
And then the other thing is I really appreciate this from my younger team, is just utilize their knowledge.
Okay.
They've been down the road. They've experienced some things. They've encountered some things. They do have knowledge and understanding that I would like to glean from.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important and really motivating for me personally when younger staff ask questions.
Wow.
So.
I love it. So those are some ways we can motivate. Let me ask you this. What are maybe some pieces of advice, kind of as we wrap this up, that you would give to someone leading teams of multi-generational people? So teams that have, like you said, like your team, I've got 20-somethings on it. I've got 50-somethings on it. You yourself are in your 30s. And what does that look like? What is some advice you would give to somebody that's leading a team, maybe for the first time, or maybe they've been leading it and they're just pulling their hair out and like, I don't know what to do. What is some advice maybe that you would give them that you've seen been effective in your leadership?
Yeah, great question. So I've got three things here. And some of these I lifted from Hayden Snow.
I love the practical. Here we go. Yeah. Three things.
I've got three things that I've adapted from Hayden Snow, and then I've got one piece that I've learned personally.
Okay.
But if we're talking about advice that's going to help people lead multi-generational teams, we have to, as leaders, lead the whole team in the same direction.
Wow.
And these things are going to help you do that. First of all, we have to appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we appreciate each generation's strengths,
mm-hmm,
experiences, and what they bring to the table.
Wow.
And if we just create this culture of appreciation, it'll go a long way to blending teams from different generations, which are essentially different cultures.
Right.
So just appreciating one another.
Appreciating every generation.
Yes, absolutely.
What they bring to the table.
Absolutely. Hey, look, there's a generation, they can actually do math in their head.
They can do long division.
Yeah.
When's the last time you did long division? I don't know if I can do long division right now.
I can't do it. I cannot do it.
I know how to set it up, and then I'll use my calculator.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that they can do that.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that there's a generation that's never licked a postage stamp.
Mm.
What's the U.S. post office, right?
You know what I've actually seen, and this is something I appreciate in my dad's generation, which my dad's a boomer. through and through. But I've seen it working with other boomers in the office. Their penmanship is outstanding.
It's fantastic.
Fantastic penmanship. Nobody in my generation can write at all.
They indent their paragraphs.
Yeah. 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 It's great. Just solid penmanship.
And grammar. Know?
Grammar.
Grammar.
Off the yes. Yeah, they had grammar school.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
They had school for grammar. Right. We had computer school.
Right, absolutely.
So, Microsoft Word did a lot of our grammar for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that is something to appreciate, though. That I love that.
Well, I want the younger generation to appreciate where the older generation has come from.
Mm-hmm.
I want the older generation to appreciate the younger generation and what they have to contribute. Mm. So I think appreciation is a big part of that. Then the other one is acknowledge. And I got this from Hayden Snow, and I loved it because it really gave me a brand new perspective. We need to acknowledge, is this a life stage or is this a generational bias?
Wow.
Here's an example.
Yeah.
We always say millennials don't commit. They're flighty. They hop around. Mm-hmm. They don't stay anywhere very long.
No.
Well, the truth is we turn that into a generational bias, and we lump all the millennials into being flighty, inconsistent.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if that's a generational bias as much as it is a life stage.
Yeah,
most of your millennials are in your 20-something, so they may not be married. They may not have kids. They're not really tethered. There's no reason to put roots down. They're in a stage of life where they have the opportunity
to go try something
out. There's a freedom there that they have.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really fair to acknowledge, is this a life stage or is this a generational bias?
Wow.
And when we can discern, is this just a life stage? Is this just a season they're going through?
Mm-hmm.
It keeps us from stereotyping a whole generation.
Wow.
So I think acknowledging where they're at is really, really important. And then the other thing I would say, the third thing we have to do as leaders, mm-hmm. is we have to lead our team to adjust. We need to adjust our communication styles, and we need to adjust our expectations. For instance, young millennial Zs, I think they can adjust to their leader's communication style.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. think, I can't remember who exactly said this, but they had done some research, and your young millennials and your Zs that actually took a pen mm-hmm. and wrote notes while their boss was talking to them actually got promoted.
Wow.
And so what they're seeing is that younger generation that adjust to a different communication style,
wow.
they actually get promoted. And so there's something awesome when somebody can learn and adjust to a different communication style. Mm. And so I know that Xers and older millennials and boomers, they want to send out really long emails. Well, it needs to be in shorthand. So we can adjust our communication style to really create unity. The other thing is, I think many times Xers and old millennials need to change their expectations sometimes.
Okay.
Because when they can change their expectations, they can adjust their expectations, mm-hmm. it's going to keep them more flexible and they're going to continue to grow. So relational.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes I love it when my older staff members, or let's just say from a different generation, they actually sit down in our conference room and work together as a team with us.
Yeah.
But they have to adjust the way they work.
Yeah.
And so they have to adjust socially and relationally and, mm-hmm. and even technology. And so I think that when that younger generation can adjust and the older generation can adjust, what happens is we're gonna have creating unity within mm-hmm. these teams,
right.
and we're gonna move forward together.
Yeah.
So
I love that it's not about compromising, but it just slight adjustments, right?
Yeah.
Like taking your notes on your phone and taking a note on a pad and then leaving that meeting and putting them in your phone. Like that's just a step to communicate that I'm adjusting, right?
Yeah, because I don't know if you're on Facebook or
exactly
Instagram.
Texting.
See, I don't know what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, that's a good case in point, Reggie, because when I was brand new youth pastor
mm-hmm.
and coming in to serve on a staff, bringing a cell phone
out and leaving it out on the counter
was wrong. You didn't bring it in the staff meeting. You kept it out, right?
Yeah.
And now everybody's on their phone. I don't know what they're doing. But when they're writing a note, handwritten, that communicates to me they're listening to what
I'm
saying.
I know exactly what
they're
saying.
They're taking notes. And there's nothing wrong with putting the notes in the cell phone. You said it. Let's put them in later.
Yeah.
But you've just adjusted. And
you've just
huge.
Adjusted.
Yeah.
It's just adjusted. It's been and that's been something I've learned is hey, and even leading younger people, I know there's so many people that I've had this with our interns where we have a team meeting that we know we're having a meeting, right? Mm-hmm. And even interns in the past or just team meetings in general, where five of us come in the five, six of us, seven of us, eight of us are in the room, and you can see the line where who's brought in something to take notes with and who just shows up and sits down at the table.
Sure.
And it's like if we're in a meeting, you need to have something because you're going to be given a task. You're going to be given something to do.
Right.
So you need something to write with.
Be prepared. Or
be prepared to come in this meeting.
Right.
Right. And so that's just a communication, right? That's a adjusted of communication, like letting people know, right? That was almost, you know, 5-10 years ago, that was a known. Like if you didn't walk into a meeting with a pen and paper, you're not ready for the meeting.
Absolutely.
But now we have to adjust our communication as maybe older millennials and Gen Zers or Gen Xers to say, hey, the expectation is when you come into meetings, you bring a pen and paper or you bring something, you bring your computer to take notes on.
Right.
And that's a simple communication thing. And then they're like, okay, cool.
Yeah. And they're always eager to do it.
They're okay, cool. If that's what's going to get the results, all right.
I've actually started to communicate, would you write this down?
Yeah.
Or would you type this into your phone?
Yeah.
Just go ahead, put it on paper so I know that you
So I know that you know that I know that you know. Yeah.
Exactly. And on top of that, because I'm wanting to communicate the way they communicate, mm-hmm. I will respond after a meeting with a really quick email, bullet points.
Yeah.
So-and-so's doing this, so-and-so's doing this, so-and-so's mm-hmm. doing this. And it's just my way of communicating to them and putting in writing what I hope they can remember.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Any last words for the podcast listeners?
Yeah, so this is probably the best advice I think I can give on mm-hmm. leading a multi-generational team and trying to create harmony between generations is we have to ultimately build a culture of trust.
Yeah.
And so what that looks like is younger staffers, emerging leaders, they need to trust that the older staff members know something.
Yeah.
That they have experiences and they have wisdom that you need.
Yeah.
But you have to trust that. At the same time, the more tenured staff members from a different generation need to trust that younger team members have great ideas and they need to be given the room to create and implement those ideas.
Wow.
So it really comes down so we have to build trust on our teams.
I love it. I love it. Thanks so much, Pastor Shane.
Yeah, Reggie. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming and just spending some time to share with us. I know you were at chapel this morning with North Point. So go take a listen to that if you're a podcast listener as well. But thank you guys so much for listening. And you can go follow Pastor Shane on Instagram and Facebook. Go add him on Facebook. He's what are you, maybe Instagram handles or anything like that?
SM Bryant 72.
We'll tag him in the post. But, yeah, go ahead, follow him. Let him know if you're listening. It's a great time. But thanks so much for joining us. And thank you for listening to the Vertical Leadership Podcast. We truly believe if the leader is empowered, the entire organization will grow. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for taking time to grow as leaders. We are looking forward as we continue to build our culture in student ministries.